This is the 1UP Radio Network, and now GFW Radio.
The bottom of my computer desk feels like Braille to the finger. A cave ceiling, stalactites and such, but all boogers. I stick them there while waiting for maps to load and while watching cutscenes, so blame the game, not the player. I swish my legs through Taco Bell wrappers, leg high, and some stick to my soles like toilet tissue on a shoe. I suppose I have myself to blame for that. However, hygiene's never been my strong suit. There's not a dish in sight, though, in that being, because while I can ratatouille a ratatouille and souffle a souffle like nobody's business, all with limp-wristed Wiimote gestures, I can't actually cook. I take out and order in, dammit. I need a USB-powered hot pocket heater. Slash pizza ain't a punchline, it's a lifeline. Throw me a chicken bone here, as long as there's meat left on it. And don't go feed them to the dog. They splinter in the sharp ends, heard something fierce on the outbound, and damn it, I don't need the howling in the background as I talk to my buddies in TeamSpeak. In the future, scientists will prove my Z-Board made me 16.2% faster. It's luxury, it's lightning, it's been signed by Fatality, in pizza grease no less. Problem is, it's a Guild Wars Z-Board brand Z-Board, so don't... So when I press the cast spell key, I throw a grenade, or hit a handbrake, or throw a Hail Mary pass, or make some other hot shit move that isn't casting a spell. And I type on it, I'm typing this on it. And I know that when I press items, then minimap, then skills, it comes out FTW. And that way the message board champions know I'm a message board champion too. I script whole words to single keystrokes. I hit call target and it comes out confirmed. And with those four keys alone, I can pretty much contribute to any conversation you can have. That is, unless you're a lady. And if your FPS screen name is Princess PMS, you better believe I'm asking ASL. No hotkey makes me hotter. And I might not know you, but I already love you. Let me buy you nachos, Bel Grande, baby. Or better yet, a seven-layer crunch wrap supreme and Baja Blast. We'll attack it from either end until our mouths meet in the middle like Lady and the Tramp, only remade for today's brandscape. Living the good life of El Presidente. Make it mild or hot or make it fire, no matter to me. We'll lay in the wrappers and make snow angels, maybe. Just don't look up at the bottom of my computer desk.
I think Jack Kerouac is shitting himself right now.
Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. And bravo
wow.
for that dramatic reading.
That is the champion of the web. That's not even a hero of the web.
That's, yeah, that's a champion.
I can't talk for the rest of the...
can you talk to us?
Did you realize it would be that long when you wrote that?
Welcome back.
I did.
You run the gauntlet.
But I was like, it was stream of consciousness from
you wrote that?
Yeah.
Bravo.
That was real drama.
Wow. Awesome. That was Sean Elliott. Back from vacation. Welcome back.
Yeah.
This is Jeff Green, editor-in-chief of Games for Windows Magazine. And also with us today are...
Ryan Scott,
Darren Gladstone,
and Sean Malloy,
Mixmaster Malloy on the box. So we're back. We're all here. This is the first time we've all been in the same room in a couple weeks. And not only is it the same room, it's a tiny room again. We are dangerously close in terms of personal space here. It's a little uncomfortable and awkward.
Yeah.
My headset, actually, I can barely, like, reach. I have to lean forward even to, like, be able to sit here.
Jeff already knocked over a Diet Coke.
I knocked over a Diet Coke carpet. But you know what? This damn thing was flat, so I'm glad it knocked over.
See, if you had Taco Bell wrappers all over the floor, we just soaked it up. You know, just pick them up. Like.
There's a reason for that.
It was a little frightening of the way this carpet absorbed that 10 ounces of Coke so fast.
Industrial.
It was some kind of living carpet. Yeah.
Thank you for the Coke.
Baby's blood, please.
So we've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah, I should, just so you can make fun of me. We have a lot to talk about this week. Don't we, Sean? We don't have shit to talk about. No, we do.
We had
a big game release as of yesterday, Lord of the Rings Online. A whole bunch of us playing it here and in 1UP in general. First PC game in a little while that's getting random 1UPers to go, do you have extra copies of Lord of the Rings Online? So that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
They always say it in that voice.
They always say it in that voice, no matter who they are or what gender they are. Also, I was on Lord of the Rings Online earlier today, and I waited in a queue. So that's another good sign that people are actually
great.
Good queues.
Well, yeah. Queues.
Well, I think we.
Hey, it beats the auto assault experience.
That's true. Well, I think the only thing is like it's kind of a mixed blessing because like it's the Brandywine server, right?
It is.
I think that's one of the few servers that's like really like heavily populated.
Yeah, they're actually already doing the "we recommend you start on this server" thing. But again, that's a good sign. Yeah. Okay, so we'll come back to that. We have that game to talk about. We've got Halo 2 for Vista. Everybody's excited about that.
Woo!
Time machine.
I don't know what else we have. We have some reader mail. Are we going to do a Heroes of the Web, or was that your Hero of the Web?
That was it. There you have it. Yeah, I just got back, and I'm like insanely jet lagged, so I'm probably just going to be pretty
boring. Did you write this on your vacation? Or
I wrote that in delirium yesterday. I was telling Sean, you know that feeling when, like, maybe some of the kids out there don't know this feeling, but when you have a friend when you're in college, you have a friend spend the night at your dorms or whatever, and it's like 4 a.m. and you're up, and like you're just doing nothing. You're like totally brain dead, but you're just making fun of like whatever's on TV, Trinity Broadcasting or whatever, just like stopping on any random channel.
That's when I always watched the Televangelists at that time.
But so that's it. Like, so you watch that and you just like look at it and you'll laugh once in a while and you don't know why you haven't gone to bed yet. So anyway, that's where I'm at. Give me some TV.
Right where he is.
Well, it produced content for 1UP.
It did.
Yeah.
It paid off.
We should talk to Bebop about getting you a bonus for that writing assignment.
That's money.
So what do we want to lead out with? Should we just go right back into Lord of the Rings Online? Might as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's hear about it.
It's big stuff.
Convince me. I have a copy sitting on my desk, and I want to.
I don't know if there's going to be convincing you.
Convincing of you, yeah.
There might be convincing of Ryan.
Come on, dude. It can't be that hard. I only walked out of the second movie.
Well, it's not
based on
the
movie. You're not the intended audience. I don't think.
It's not the movie license. So,
hey. Right, it's not the movie license.
It's based on the books.
But you get to play lutes.
You do get to play lutes.
Sweet.
And clarinet.
That's how you heal people.
So the word online, when I came back, I was surprised to see a big thread. Well, big for our boards. A big thread dedicated to
five
the game.
Posts.
by three posters. a pretty big sized thread dedicated to this game. And usually MMO launches come and go, and it's just a vacuum.
Uh-huh. And this is reflective,
and
I would say,
of our listeners who are notorious curmudgeons, you know.
Uh-huh.
But in a good way. I mean, you just have like, I mean,
just they healthy skepticism.
Just discerning.
Yeah, and right. they're going crazy for it.
Uh-huh.
So what's the deal?
Well, it's, I'm not too far into
who,
it.
Who's the furthest along? How far did you get?
Well, I've got a level 9 guy, but I'm actually going to forsake him and start somebody new.
I'm still in newbie town.
Yeah, same here. I'm only like
I'm probably
level
a little
right
further
now.
Than.
I mean,
you guys.
The very early newbie experience is like pretty much wow. Like it's the same kind of quest cycle, same kind of.
I actually blogged a little bit negatively about the newbie zone, even though I like the game. But my feeling was like the time in which you have a dedicated newbie zone that is not connected to the actual game world has passed. That, you know, I felt like WoW did a really good job of putting the player into the world that really is there and just sort of breadcrumbing you along until you got to places that were harder.
Right.
And this sort of like artificial like playpen where only noobs hang out, I don't like.
And to clarify, you're talking about kind of newbie zone 2 because you start off in kind of an instanced area where you are like breaking out of prison or whatever depending
you're
on what
correct.
Class you pick.
And that's
so
kind of cool.
That one's cool. Except for, I think, we agreed on the why are the Ringlays talking, but that's total Lord of the Rings dorkism.
Yeah,
kicking in.
Well, I don't. Is
why
it,
are they talking?
I guess
they're
it
supposed
is.
To just strike fear into your heart.
I created another new character today, and I went through that again, and it bothered me again.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the Black Riders talking. Like, what's so scary about him is they're just like, oh, like, ugh.
Right.
You know,
they say stuff like, I'll get you yet, Hobbit.
Yeah, you Hobbits.
And your dog, too.
Yeah, it's a little like, oh. No.
Yeah, anyway, besides that, you're talking about
Sean doesn't care.
I'm just thinking it's time to have a contest to get rid of that copy I got on my desk.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'm looking forward to giving a try, at least, is the ability to become one of the high-level monsters. So, like, from what I understand, you hit level 10,
yep.
And like you could like forsake your own dude and just go right. on and like take right. be a level 50 spider or whatever and just start ganging up on, mm-hmm. on
the reason
players.
And the reason for this is there's no PvP proper because there's only good races in Lord of the Rings Online and they can't have, you know, men fighting hobbits.
Right.
As much fun as that would be.
So is this PvP?
So the PvP is that when you hit level 10 you can play as a monster. Against the
like
other
indefinitely
players.
Or?
Does that game still look like a bunch of homeless people?
Come on now.
Actually,
was like the dumbest joke. So choked in. This is the aftermath of the whiskey nerd voice. Yeah. Like ready to try out for
every
AC/DC now.
Like,
that's what you get.
Swallow Brillo Pad. No, but I was just like, because do you get it? Like back then. Their clothes weren't all advanced like ours. They looked like bums. They can't even afford shoes. Big ass.
It's only the hobbits. The hobbits don't need shoes because they have hairy feet.
Yeah.
Duh.
So if you're playing as a monster, is that, you know...
I think you level up slightly as a monster, yeah. but not much.
It's not like the full experience like playing as a hobbit.
No, it's not like a character that...
in the horde or anything.
Like right.
Well, I'm just looking forward to like just screwing with all the guys that are like power levelers.
Yeah, I there's some kind of advancement. There's reasons to keep playing as it. I don't know. Talking out of my...
Well, ask again next week.
Next week we'll know more. To clarify, Sean, you're right. When you first create a new character, the first thing that happens to you is they put you into an instance that like starts a story right away. And that is cool. Mm-hmm. It puts you right in, you know, in media ray, right in the middle of a sort of epic moment. But then they stick you into a kind of like level 1 through 6,
right?
Dedicated like here's how to learn the game thing, and I think that like takes the wind out of its sails a little bit,
right? And it's because
then it's right back to collecting herbs and berries.
The humans and like hobbits start in.
Yeah, the humans and hobbits turn this exact same area.
Someone says kill 6 wolves, and you go kill 6 wolves.
Yeah, I know. I was kind of bummed by that too.
Right. Well, like they could have carried that instance moment out. Further, mm-hmm. or more distinctly for each race, I think.
And then,
I don't know.
Yeah, I got to keep playing. I mean, it's really like for a launch game, it's really polished, and like I haven't encountered anything.
No bugs.
On the good side, there's that. It's incredibly smooth as a launch. There are a lot of players on there, which yep. an MMO needs, so it's easy to group up already. I've joined Fellowship. See, you don't calm groups. So everybody, so the players who are taking the game seriously say LFF in this game. Looking for fellowship. Yeah. I like to say group anyway, just to piss people
off. Ready on day one. They're like,
no, people were, I mean, this game got good buzz in the weeks leading up, yep. so that helped. You know, the open beta went really well. So yeah. I think
it was good timing for them. Like, Burning Crusade has been out for what?
Right.
Months now. So,
right. It's a little played out.
Off that. There are people who are just like, all right, I'm a little sick of WoW now. I'm going to try this out. Mm-hmm. But no one in my guild, WoW guild, has. There are people who are trying it, but no one has said I'm jumping ship. They're just like, I'd like to play this on the side.
Yeah, I think that's where it's at right now.
Right,
people are just checking it out, seeing if it's a worthy alternative. And my take is, it's like the first one. This is the first one that's like made me want to play an MMO other than WoW. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to replace WoW, but like I've spent my evening playing it and feeling like, you know. Okay, well, that was a nice alternative to WoW, as opposed to, boy, I wish I played WoW instead, which is what it usually is for
right.
games like this.
True.
Well, I can't wait to see the first person who hits the level cap. Blitzes through the entire story.
The stuff that's interesting to me is stuff that I'll have to figure out later if it's worth it, but like the player combos, where there's that color system where you can kind of rip off each other's moves. Like, there's a system in the game for the combat where, like, if someone does a certain move, then another person, like, there's a little color wheel that pops up.
Really?
I haven't really seen it in action, so I'm just kind of talking purely theoretical. But, like, then another player in your party can see what you did and kind of combo off of it. That sounds kind of interesting to me. I know, like, Final Fantasy XI and stuff did that because they had that, I can't remember what it was called, some system very similar.
I think that the things to give them props for, at least, is that... this game's been around for so long, you know. It's very much had, in years past, had the kiss of death to it. The sort of like taint of, oh God, let's not write about this damn thing.
Well, the last E3, I was watching it going, oh man, poor thing.
Exactly. Yeah, you just sort of like wanted it to go away, you know.
So
just so it would stop embarrassing everybody.
Yeah.
But now they really kind of got it together, you know?
Well, because it's part of it's just the Lord of the Rings thing. It's so, like, past its prime. It's like, you know how, like, whatever year it was when the first movie came out, McDonald's would want the tie-ins for their Happy Meals, and now it's like Shecky's Burger Shack that's got Lord of the Rings.
Passed down the food chain.
Based on the literally. based on the book.
Well, I think there's still
well, let's see how that Hobbit movie comes out.
Contingent of people who are into this, like, no matter what day of the year it is or what year
yeah,
it is.
I mean, the Tolkien fans are eternal, you know. I mean, the movies, you're right, the movies are a bit passé now, but you go onto these servers, and there's some pretty hardcore Tolkien nerds playing. I guarantee you.
I know it has voiceover IP, and that I have to confess is probably one of the main reasons I want it to play. Because I can think about the damage I could do.
Yeah, lots of fodder there.
Dangerous.
But it's like, it would be better if it were Dune, because I have confessed to having read all the Dune books. And but like, if I knew, it's easier.
You've read,
like,
all the Dune books.
It's easier.
You're dissing the Tolkien books.
Yeah. I know.
Okay. Me,
but I'm ashamed. I'm not saying that they're rad, though. I'm not saying I'm dying to play a Dune MMO.
You're just making a pretty excuse to use adult beef swellings in a...
Yeah, but to go in, like, the better armed you are to go and actually, like, stir up the pot
with the knowledge,
like, yeah, like when I was on Xbox Live playing, you know, Worms, like, a while ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a guy in our game, and we were just doing stack games. Me and my friend Rory, we'll make like a three worm game, and then we'll immediately just tag team on the other guy and talk shit to him the whole time. And but this guy's name was Dune Dude, so but we had both read the book, so we immediately just started talking about, like, it's the most obscure shit. You'd have to have read the book, but immediately let him in on the fact that we knew what his name was, and we knew, like, how absurd the stuff got. No, I mean, we were talking about, like, hitting him with, like, the sexual propensity of, like, a 16th generation Duncan Gola, and, like, just, like, all
Gamja
kinds of
bar you.
Yeah, all kinds of nonsense. Anyway,
wow, that meant
that's
nothing
fun
to me.
That's funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean laughed uproariously.
It was funny,
the other Dune guy in the room.
Yeah, trust me.
Wow, now I know how everyone else feels when I start talking about graphics cards and shit.
Because you can't. Yeah.
So have you read the Lord of the Rings book?
I haven't read them, no.
Oh.
Wow. How did you get a job here? Man, that should have been on, like, my entrance test. In book two.
No.
When Saruman. No.
Well, you know what kind of person you're going to get if that's your quiz.
Neckbeard. Neckbeard the Gray.
I just bought the new Tolkien book.
You did? Yeah, Sean bought
the new
one.
Book?
Yeah, there's a new one.
Isn't that fool dead?
No. So,
yeah, he's dead. He's a long time dead. Yeah, so
actually, like, Tupac did the soundtrack for this too. So
he's not technically dead. He went over the gray seas.
Yeah, he's in the gray havens.
Yeah, the gray havens. Sorry, the gray seas.
Dude, you're out.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out of the club.
That means nothing to me. I don't understand what you're saying. I can't even contextualize it. What possibly could you be talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll keep talking about Lord of the Rings Online. So far, so good.
I will play it again.
Yep. I'm looking forward to getting out of here and playing it.
Will it kill WoW? Probably not.
Probably not, but I think it's going to do well here.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a circumstance.
Could be a good alternative.
Like, the people who are looking to get out of WoW now, like, now have a place to jump to. Mm-hmm. There's always, like, a certain, like, wave of people who are just like, I need something else. And it
right.
seems to come and go.
Right.
So, I don't think there'll be no mass exodus.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good stuff. A good alternative.
A fine alternative.
All right.
Finally.
Moving along, Darren, do you want to discuss Halo 2 Vista?
Oh, geez.
Game of the year?
No.
No?
First of all, I'm going to hang my head low knowing that I have PC achievement points now, and there's no way I can cover it up on my...
What was your first one?
Just you get the first level.
Yeah.
Congratulations, here's the idiot badge for clearing the tutorial area.
Fozzie the Bear, dude.
Seriously.
We're just going to make noises the rest of the podcast?
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah.
No, it was. It's just you look at the game and you're like, wow, it's like it's like shellacked animatronics, like characters walking me through the game.
Hmm. It sounds like about a 78% to me.
The beginning of that game, it'd be hard to play that again. Like, the beginning levels were so, like...
The thing is, you look at it now and you're like, wow, the level design, it's so... A couple of years ago, and it's just like all
it's
the
not even that. Like,
the
when
textures,
that game came
hasn't
out?
It been optimized for Vista?
Kind of.
I was just reading a bullet point,
but it doesn't. I mean, you could sharpen the resolution on it, and it doesn't matter. It's basically a bunch of I mean, if you took poured concrete and rebar, I mean, to an extent that
generic,
makes, like,
very generic,
you know, the height of like communist architecture look inspired, you know, and just start laying that goddamn concrete everywhere. And sometimes you paint it green and sometimes you paint it purple.
It's kind of like Levittown in space.
I'm going to have to play it again. I'm going to have to and see how it stands up. But at the time, it was difficult because I had reviewed Half-Life 2 2 weeks prior to Halo 2. And then when you jump in, you go from, of course, the well-known intro to Half-Life 2, where you're like, okay, there's this, you know, this very Orwellian world and whatnot. And you look out and you walk outside, you know, the little, all the buildings and architecture. You're like, this is like a plausible place. Like this, there's a lot of, even though I'm controlled and limited in where I can go, the placement of the environment is very convincing, and that someone put some thought into it and it has a history to it. It sort of tells its own history just by the way it looks, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And going through that experience, and then when you start off Halo 2, of course, the big thing, spoiler alert, if you somehow haven't played it,
Halo 2 spoilers.
Earth, you know, and you have this stuff on, and you're like, okay, this is going to be interesting. You could always do something fascinating with this, you know. It was kind of like with, you know, remember the Alien movie, and there's like the Alien comic where like they took it to Earth, and you're like, oh, this is going to be wild. But then you're like, what the, Earth is just like a dirty alley. With like some crusty
you're going through the subways,
brown ass. It could have been anywhere. It could have just been more like, it's just like Pac-Man space, you know. Mm-hmm. And while a game is more like, those are not Halo. I'm just drawing attention to it because those are not Halo's strengths, and it doesn't matter because it succeeds despite those. I mean, it does other things well, at least especially on the console on the 360, but. The way that I buy into it, it does matter because, like, anytime someone talks, automatically, I just don't care. I mean, there's, like, another burn victim, you know, and, like, the first guy that talks to you, he's like, goddamn waxworks, man. Dude's coming out, his lips are melting off his face.
No, it's pretty bad. I mean, like it's, like, weird. You see, like, this, like, it's just a hollow mask. I expect to see, like, it's, like, a serial killer with some kind of mask on it. You see the eyes operating, like, independently underneath that level. Yeah. I'm like, holy crap.
The dude from let's get nerdy here, from the Preacher comic book. Basically made like that mask.
Totally. it was pretty. It's pretty rough. You know, the thing is, like, okay, so the ultimate question: can you play it with keyboard and mouse, like they're talking about? I honestly tried playing it for about a level, and I plugged in a gamepad.
My ultimate question would really be:
is it
would the multiplayer be as compelling as Halo 2 multiplayer on Xbox? Because that's where
It's going to be the multiplayer, but no one's really in multiplayer yet.
Yeah.
A limited number of people are actually like up online right now.
Right.
And yeah, so it's just kind of like, it was just kind of weird
just reviewers
seeing,
and stuff, yeah.
It's just kind of weird hitting the guide button and seeing all my live stuff like popping up and on the Halo. But, you know,
I'm definitely going to try that.
I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to keep playing through it and see what happens, see if my opinion changes at all. But I agree with Sean. The strengths are going to be in multiplayer and the maps that get made. And speaking of which, I just installed the map maker earlier today and started trying to tinker around with it. It's a lot more complex than I was hoping it would be. Mm-hmm. It's like in Far Cry, they make that thing really easy. You can just like alter the world and like in the map and then just drop right into the world. And here it's just like, basically, if you've made maps before in Halo 1, you'll be okay, but...
So is this not yet the reason to install Vista, Darren?
No. I would not say this is the killer reason. Maybe Shadowrun? We'll see if you can get a stable version of that. But, I don't know, it's...
How many people here at Official Games for Windows Magazine are running Vista yet? Raise your hand in this room. We got one.
We got one.
We got Darren.
I get to take that computer home, I'll be running.
Okay, actually, the count's going to go up to two soon. I have an extra PC that Sean's going to start kicking around. But, to be honest with you, like I have one machine that runs Vista, but I also have it dual boot for XP because I want it to be stable.
Yeah, okay.
But
PC, we need to make a different licensing deal with Apple.
Oh, come on.
But PC gaming is resurging, I hear.
Nice segue, Darren. Yeah, some nice... Did anybody actually bring the numbers? Was anybody smart enough?
Of course not.
Of course
we
not.
We are so unorganized at this podcast. EGM would have had it in here. Retronauts would have had it in here.
You're all fired.
You suck. So there was some kind of news story about PC gaming numbers.
It was in 2006, yeah.
Yeah.
It was from the New York Times article that posted on Monday or Tuesday, I think. And the evidence that it's up, some dude walking into EB or Best Buy or whatever, and like running straight to the, buy a copy of Civ 4.
Well, that was the little anecdotal thing to go with the actual sales numbers, which showed a positive increase in PC gaming numbers.
It's a growth market.
Right. So you could probably go to some reputable game site or podcast and get the actual information. Not here.
How much of that is like because it was the down cycle of the console year? Like that was the tail end of the Xbox and PS4.
You know what? I just wish one day that the NPD actually accurately tracked the numbers for online sales and digital distribution.
Right.
Because really, like retail is just going to like, I mean, at some point, I think retail is just going to dry up for PC gaming, and you're going to see people just getting downloading all their stuff. Steam is a prime example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what about all those great games for Windows kiosks at the store where you can,
you can
buy the games for Windows games? And your magazine. You can buy that there, too.
You got such bad attitude today. I want to be on the podcast now, man.
What? Am I bumming you out with my bad attitude? You just have a good attitude because you went on vacation, so fuck you. If you weren't on vacation and you had to be here at work every day, you'd be in a shitty mood, too.
I was part of that. I was just ripping on the beginning of the level design for Halo. I'm into Halo mainly for the fiction, though. The surrounding fiction.
Yeah. So you've read all the novels.
It's deep down this road.
Like, I knew. Like, I was one of the few who, like, appreciated, like, what it meant when Feed Me Seymour came out at the end. What was the line? I'll see you next time, Seymour. Sorry.
What's that about?
I don't know.
Yeah, it turns out
the grave mind,
the great villain,
the high
great
villain,
grave
villain.
Mind is basically just a giant tooth carnivorous plant that seemingly pops up out of nowhere and has a few words to say and then lets the credits
and
roll.
And he calls you Seymour?
No, I mean that's the whole deal.
Yeah, the whole Seymour. Little Shop of Horrors fun.
Yeah, a little
Seymour butts.
No,
hey,
Little Shop of Horrors.
Shop of Horrors.
Not Little Shop of that. Okay.
Oh, so like Seymour Butts is Little Shop of Horrors?
I got volumes 1 through 7.
You'll be a dentist. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Fiction is good.
This is why I said I didn't want to be on this podcast. I was like, I'll come in and I'll read that thing.
See, aren't you glad you were now?
Now there's no turning back. It's like I went on. Yeah.
How many of the novels have you read?
The Halo ones? One of them just came in today.
They keep sending them.
We get every book series here.
Pretty interested to find out. Like, because there's like, you know, I played multiplayer and there's a red Spartan armor and a green and a blue Spartan armor. I want to find out about like how they chose to designate those with various colors.
That's right. Red versus blue. I'm kind of curious about how that works.
So the extended fiction will answer that question.
I don't want to be a little like, sort of righteous about these kind of things. But I'm thinking if you haven't yet read like Huckleberry Finn, or
oh, are you going to get all fucking literary?
Or War and Peace, or let's be more recent, Slaughterhouse 5, because Kurt Vonnegut just died. Don't be fucking wasting your time reading Halo novels, okay? You've got some other reading to do first.
There's a required list.
When you get past that list, then you can sit your ass down and read some gaming novels. I'm sorry.
I can't talk because I said I read Dune, and I know like a lot of people are horrified. They're like, oh God, Frank Herbert's so much better than the Halo novels. But, I mean, yeah, it's still fluff reading, and that's about as bad as I'm
kidding.
That's about my most waja like reading it.
I've got worse than that.
Dave, really? What's your worst? What's your most embarrassing
fanfic?
Yeah,
I haven't finished, but I started reading a Warcraft novel.
Okay.
Oh,
see, I
God,
did. I did that too.
So we can't. So
oh God, you hit a critical piece of shit. What the hell? I told you I was just.
But you
kidding.
Have okay. You have, you can
he
say
he
maybe you did read Tolstoy.
I'm not done with the list, though. I've not read every great work of literature, and yet I did choose, instead of reading one of those, to read, what's it called? One of those works.
But I mean, you have to read
Rise of the Triad.
To be fair, if it's not entertaining, I mean, you might as well. I mean, if that's what floats your boat, you might as well read the Warcraft novel. But I mean, like, for most, well, I'd like, not for most people, but I mean, like, for me, I'd much rather read. I mean, any of the other books you mentioned are more entertaining. Or
the times that I always read that try reading the Warcraft novels is after a visit to Blizzard. Because when you go there and you talk to guys like Chris Metzen, who's like the lore master guy, he's so into this world he created and he talks so enthusiastically about it. Like, you don't even know at all. Like, a tenth of Drenai's story. I mean, there are... I don't want to make fun of this guy because he's gigantic and would kick my ass. And plus, he's a super nice guy.
He made you read the book, too.
But you listen to him and you're, oh, my God, this world really is exciting. And he's got the novels all right behind him. And you're like, can I borrow that one? Because this sounds great.
Dude, how many times have you changed religions in your life?
Yeah, that's what it's like. So then I'm sitting on the plane,
every
like, reading the first...
knocks on your door. Yeah. Hey, so, well, that sounds pretty cool.
Muhammad sounds like a cool guy.
So this, you know, he sounds pretty badass. I want to find out what he did.
I thought Jesus was cool.
Zeno, yeah.
Tell me more about Zeno.
Tell me more about Lord Zebulon.
Lord Zebulon, that's where we have lunch. So I always like, I'm like on the plane back from Irvine, like sitting there, you know, in coach on Southwest Airlines, like reading the first Warcraft novel, going, yeah, it is cool how the Night Elves start. I know, in public. But then by the time I get home, I'm like, oh. Yeah.
Did you feel like when someone, the person next to you is like reading Souls and Nitzan or something, the Gulag Archipelago,
or Business Week,
he looks over
at a 40-year-old guy reading.
What are those? I've always wondered what those books are like. I mean, this is traditional GFW radio, and that this wasn't on our plan to talk about novelizations of games, but this, we found a rad topic just by bullshitting. What's on the pages of these things? Like, I just imagine, the reason I'm so dismissive is I think Halo novel, I'm like, okay, page 43, Master Chief empties a submachine gun into Grunt 5 and 6, reloads, empties a submachine gun into Grunts 8 and 9. A locust appears, or whatever, you know, what are they called, the insect?
In Warcraft,
I'm not done. Page 87, Master Chief jumps. Master Chief lands. Master Chief throws a plasma grenade, shoots, and Master Chief reloads.
And Cortana says...
Master Chief dies, but has one continue left.
I'm sorry, but the Warcraft novels are a lot deeper than that, Sean.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe because Warcraft's a deeper game than Halo.
Jeff Green...
It's basically your...
The master of the Nargul Plains summons...
It's just any number of your Lord of the Rings... ripoffs.
It's high fantasy.
In the spirit of the World of Warcraft universe, we encourage you to insert your own name where the protagonist's name would appear in the following text.
Yeah, no, it's not like a write your own story sort of
thing. How about a choose your own adventure?
Right, it's not. No, it's actually like, you know, there is a whole huge backstory in this game, and that's what these books are. The books tell the backstory of the game.
Like, you get some in a quest text, but then it's like, go to the novel for the real
stuff. So you mean it's not like a literal, like, depiction of the game? There's not, like, 700 pages of one boss?
These are like 10,000
years. Let me talk!
I'm not everybody. Done. More dots.
So it's not, a 1,000 pages of you fighting, like, Nyxia, right?
No. This is like 10,000 years before WoW started.
I'm so serious with that question.
We're taking you seriously. No, it's not Anixia.
Do they actually have good writers doing these things, or is it just kind of like...
Right? I mean, you know, relatively.
And, I mean...
Philip Roth isn't doing it in his off hours.
It's as good as like an R.A. Salvatore, which is, you know...
Exactly.
Do the Night Elves in the Warcraft novels, when they're, you know, in town buying something... Do they have problems with random horde people rolling in? And
no, this isn't like WoW gameplay in novelization form.
That'd be so much better,
there are
better,
people
though.
Like shouting for auctions.
But Sean with the straight face.
That'd be awesome.
With the straight face. Sean just said, they're about as good as the as the books, the Goosebumps books. that's not R.L. Stein.
Yeah, that's a different author, dude. Yeah, that's R.L. Stein, not R.A. Salvatore.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't
Loser.
He did the Dragonlance novels. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we all knew that.
R.L. Salvatore.
Yep.
What's the difference between
them? I've been reading this since the dawn of my reading existence. So it's just kind of a natural continuation for me in its sad way.
I think the only
Goosebumps has got larger print. That's the difference.
and more pictures. Actually, I tried reading one of these books. It was the, I hate to say this, the Perfect Dark one, because Greg Rucker was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
So... I just know him from his graphic novel and comic world. So, I just couldn't resolve myself to read it.
I think
five guys go into a room and admit to the shadiest cat they've ever read.
It's this closet.
We really couldn't have this job if we didn't, you know.
Hey.
Could we? I mean, and plus these books come in free every day.
Read any of those?
Well, you read all those lousy Dune books. It's like one hair removed from what we're talking about here.
In some cases, it's probably worse. I told you there's a line in the third or fourth Dune book where he talks about someone having an adult beef swellings.
Right.
Which has become one of my many names for my characters in video games since.
You know what's dried up around here are the Warhammer books. We were getting like new Warhammer books every day.
There was a different Slayer for every day.
Oh, yeah, it was always Slayer.
Steven
Slayer.
Rat Slayer. Yeah. Dragon.
They ran out of things to slay was the problem. That's
Here's
why we
a
got
good
no
story.
More books.
Dude, I sent
Ant
like...
Slayer.
We got all those books in. So hopefully the person that sent those isn't listening.
Oh, no, we appreciated them.
We love those books. But,
okay, I collected them all, and after I read them, of course. And
yeah.
I put them all in a big box to send to my friend Rory. He did some illustrations for us back when. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have the freelance budget to pay him, so I said, I'm going to hook you up, dude. I got you a box of really cool gaming stuff. And it was like all those books. Ogre
Slayer.
That's
where they went.
Troll Slayer. Skaven Slayer. Dragon Slayer. Like whatever. Chode Slayer. So I put them all. I sent them all. And he gets
them.
And he's like... What the hell is this? Like, he had to take it. He didn't open it in the living room. He didn't want anyone, like, watching him open it because he had no idea what was in it. So he takes it into his room and then opens it up. He's like, what the hell is this? But he's so, hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. So he takes these things down to, like, the local game shop where they got, like, a commercial on TV. You know, they scraped up all their money to say that they had a TV commercial.
Right.
It's like, anime, manga, comics, games, manga. Manga. Yeah. Anyway, so he goes down there and he takes the bus, cold ass. You got to think of Minneapolis weather. And he gets there, this game shop with this box of stuff, like, hey guys, man, maybe you want to buy this at the counter. And they're like, we're not going to buy that, dude. And there's all these guys sitting in the back at the tables where they play these games, the Warhammer and stuff, you know. They all come up, flock around it, you know, and like they take a look and kind of toss them aside, like, well,
oh, man.
Like Reddit, that one didn't look so good, Reddit. And then so he basically, this is the moral of this fucking rad story, is that he had to take that full box and get back on the bus right home with the box of that shit.
I would have just left him on the sidewalk. So that's how we paid him for the work he did for our magazine?
Thanks for nothing. Here's your box. Yeah.
Let that be a lesson to you if you want to freelance for us. You're going to get a box of books that even Warhammer fans don't want. But hey, please submit your work to us. We're happy to have you. Oh, damn. Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, I guess if the Warhammer guys are listening, though. Really, thanks.
Love it.
We are psyched for that game, though.
See, I'm just going to be laughing the whole time. I told you it was like being 4 a.m. for me.
That's even better.
It's funny because I wondered what happened to those books. Not that I was looking to read them.
You said to get rid of them. It was like dad saying to clean your room.
Get rid of those goddamn Warhammer books.
Disappear. So I found a way.
So you swept them under the rug by
I found a way to use my talent.
Yeah, you knew those books were kind of bad news because there's like a freebie desk here at 1UP. And some stuff just sits on, you know, stuff disappears. But those books. Maybe an old mice would get taken.
Darren used to write Bozo Bin on the box that had that shit.
Yeah, the Bozo Bin.
And you feel like such a douche, like digging around in there.
Actually, at one point I had a webcam set up. It was taking like motion capture. So like whenever someone was going by, I would snap a picture of whoever was like digging into the bin.
It did feel kind of like dumpster diving there. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I read a Warcraft book.
You read it, and I read a Warcraft book. I don't think I actually ever made it all the way through.
Anything, any other books, Ryan? You read any game-related books?
Strategy guides?
That doesn't count.
Who hasn't read a strategy guide?
That doesn't count. Ryan, any novels?
I was heavily into Dragonlance in high school.
I think that's where this stems from for
okay.
me.
Well, that's on the acceptable side of...
Why? Just because you don't want to hurt Ryan's feelings? You told me Dune was for douchebags, so why is Dragon Slayer or whatever
No, it's just because he's finally talking, so I don't want to shut him down now.
Ryan, those books are...
It's just like his first 10 words here. Yeah. Loser!
I read them.
Shut up!
I can't make fun of my riddle, too.
See, now he's been quiet again.
So talk about him, dude.
That's what you get.
Now it's on you. Why are they better than Skaven Slayer?
Because they're based off a real campaign in D&D as played by Gary Gygax.
Hey, wow. I said this with high school, all right?
Darren tells the truth. That's right, right?
Yeah. Darren, you clearly read them too.
I voted D20 as I read each novel. I wanted to make sure I made saving throws at each chapter point.
No, back when I was in high school, back when I was like way into D&D and stuff, like I used to think those were like awesome.
The Dragonlance novels have a good reputation, even as books.
When you go back and
the
look at them,
ones.
When you look at them now, though, it's like
They do. I know I shouldn't have to say even as books. As a, for books, they're considered good as books. As opposed to, whatever.
We're going to be hearing about this on our message boards, that's for sure.
Yeah, the Dragonlance army is coming after us.
Attack us.
They're going to come here like in costume.
They're going to join.
What's better is when they like come in, they're so earnest about like convince. They think they're going to convince you otherwise. Like I did that Hero of the Web a couple weeks ago, the Naruto one. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? And I looked at our message boards.
Yeah.
There's some dude on there trying
to... He knew every word you were talking about.
Yeah, and he was all mad because he said I spoiled something. I might as well... I could have read, like, the goddamn nutritional information off, like, a back of, like, Nilla wafers or something. And it ended up spoiling the goddamn show for him. It's like, dude, I just laughed. I didn't say anything because I couldn't really... Like, LOL doesn't cut it. Like, I was, like, seriously, intensely laughing at him on my end of the computer.
Yeah, I wasn't, though. I'm still your friend.
But not, so anyway, really. that you're going to have at least someone from that. We're going to have like Dune fans and Skaven Slayer fans.
Yeah, we're just hating on everybody
Lance
today.
Fans.
Yeah.
We're shitting on everybody this week.
It's a hating thing. I told you, you know, to get part of 4 a.m. in the morning when you're watching that TV, everything comes on there is there to be hated on.
Okay, well, I'll share a little love here instead. I'll share a little love for the game that's sitting right here on my lap here. appropriately enough, because this game is called Pocket Pool.
You've had it the whole time.
It's a PSP game.
I've been fondling this the whole podcast. Pocket Pool for the PSP.
One more time? What was that?
Pocket Pool. The cover is a woman with pursed lips bending over a pool table, conveniently wearing
a stick in her hands.
Right, with a stick in her hands.
Logo, the ball structure in the logo, too.
Let's see.
It's kind of suggestive.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Oh, how did...
Oh, yeah, pocket pools.
They have two balls in the rack.
Two balls between the words pocket and pool. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is actually a billiard game.
At some point.
For the PSP.
Oh, shit. Look at... Wins unlock sexy video, picture galleries, and more surprises.
Right. So the deal is here. If you play pool successfully, you're going to get to unlock little JPEGs of hot women.
Featuring unlockable video clips and galleries of the dream models.
I'm going to save everyone a lot of time on this. Just Google some porn and like put it on your memory card and you're all set. You've actually beat the game.
Yeah, this game comes from a pre-web world. Where photos of girls weren't readily available.
You know, you were showing me this earlier. Like the first thing that popped up.
I don't know. What if that's the only thing that does it for you is like playing pool for this stuff?
Oh.
You got to earn it.
Oh, you got to earn it.
It's like an unlock system.
Maybe that's like a
mentality.
Thing.
Right.
I just think back to the good old days of like...
Dude, grab your stick and get ready to shoot some of the hottest honeys in the bar. Hustle pros like Margot and dive bars, honky tonks, mansions, and even yachts. Like even yachts. Yeah. Like imagine you're the guy looking at this at the store. You're like, okay, so as you're going through, you're like, okay, Margot, dive bars, that's all right. Honky tonks, okay. Mansions, damn. Even yachts, fuck it. Going straight to the counter.
Sold.
Straight to the counter. Because when you're playing pool, like in a pool video game, and look, it's like a top-down view of the of the felt, you know you're in a yacht. You just if they tell you you're in a yacht, it feels that much
better. Well, there's probably a flyover before you play where it shows you in the boat you're playing.
Girl you unlock in that one is sitting on a boat.
Right. Actually, I want to read you from the manual. They have a description of all the girls that you're going to unlock and meet.
Nice.
One of them I wanted to read because there's something just a little wrong
this
with
this
one.
This isn't even a PC game.
No, it's not a PC game, but that's fine.
We need to just
hopefully it'll get ported.
We need to like retitle this podcast so it's just like the
random
total nonsense.
Tangent radio.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the description.
Utterance is live.
I guess it's Jelena, unless she's like of some ethnic variety. Maybe it's Helena. I don't know. J-E-L-E-N-A.
Helena.
Says Jelena took up the game early, starting at the age of 3. Her and her father. That's nice. Her and her father would spend hours shooting pool in the family playroom.
Shooting pocket pool in the family playroom?
Like, I want to know. If I'm going to hustle a bitch, I need to know, like, I need to know something about her.
Yeah, but there the old man passed down his pool hall secrets from his rough and tumble days. There's some really horrible shit going on between the lines there, between her and her old man. I don't want to meet her. There's something wrong there.
Are there guys in the
right
picture?
Yeah, there are guys. You could also unlock...
Oh, they're studs, too.
Biagio.
I stayed there over the weekend.
Clark, Walker, Jason, and Ledbetter.
This is legit.
Where are they getting these names? Biagio. Here, we're at Biagio, the bull, muscles his shots as well as his way with the girls. Oh. All right. Okay. A native New Yorker, B, is a methodical hustler. and he's hustled them in Brooklyn, Vegas, Dallas, Los Angeles, dot, dot, dot.
A longtime fan of CNC Music Factory. And Aldolfo goes by.
So what, and KLF.
What's after those profiles?
After the profiles, you get 4 pages of notes.
Oh, yeah, those blank pages that are still in manuals?
Yeah, they've got line notes section for Pocket Pool. So if there's ever a game that you're going to want to take extensive notes on,
I always did a thing
Pocket
that whenever
Pool
I would
PSP.
Like,
Dear
it's been
Diary,
a while, but
I meet you later today.
whenever I would rent video games.
With the codes you'd make up codes in the back?
No, I would write reviews of the game in the back in the notes section, but like all asshole-ish ones, so that the next kid that rented it, I'd tell him how much of an asshole he was for renting this piece of shit game.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
How many people did you make cry?
Not many.
You'll never know.
But I did one time I took a I took a porn video cassette and I put it we took it into Blockbuster and we put it in the case for What Women Want, that Mel Gibson movie. And then just left the real one on the side.
Oh yeah, that's pretty funny.
Okay, so it wasn't a Blockbuster. It was like a video. It was like a small video store where they actually had the tapes and the thing.
Right. Okay, so let's move away from Pocket Pool for PSP. We're done.
Take one of them breaks.
Yeah, we'll take one of those breaks and maybe get back to some actual PC gaming coverage.
Doubt it.
Last note.
But we're not promising shit.
The Latina-looking Renata, this hot mama is always on fire. So I just wanted to say that about her.
Oh, because she's the Latina.
Yeah.
So she's on fire.
She's muy caliente and shit.
Okay. We'll be right back with more nonsense.
Someone bring the conch. I think, is that how that word said? I don't know.
Conch shell?
Conch?
Is it conch?
It might be conch.
I think it's a conch shell.
Raging.
No one really ever says that.
I don't know. Conch salad.
You collected them in Jaws for the NES.
Conch.
Wow, I always thought it was conch. Salad?
I think it might be conch.
I think Rachel Ray said conch.
Okay, really? Are we ready?
Also that being recorded. Yeah.
You're listening to Legendary Thread.
I do have all that recorded.
And we're back. So in our little downtime there, we started yammering amongst ourselves about E3, because the show of shows is coming up once again in a kind of different and neutered form this year. Last year it was announced that the show was actually dead due to a number of big publishers kind of realizing it, maybe its time has passed as a show and that it was costing too much money and it wasn't worth it. But over the past year, there's been it's kind of a attempted revivification of the show, and now there is sort of an E3, sort of. Though if you talk to different game companies and ask them what exactly is going on with the E3, they all one by one say, I don't know, I thought you knew. So everybody's still kind of like scrambling in terms of exactly how the show's going to go down. But there is one happening July, I think, 11th, 13th.
Yep.
And we will be there covering it. What?
We wanted to use this opportunity to discuss in some detail.
Yes, sir.
The entire notion of E3 Critics Awards.
The E3 Critics
Awards.
Is anybody in this room other than me an E3 critic?
Nope, just you.
See, I'm special.
Former judge.
Right. Actually, I think you had to give it up to me, didn't you? Because I think it was like one per staff.
One person per staff, yeah.
Yeah, and for like a year I had boycotted out of principle, and then I came back. And you know why I came back?
Why did you come back?
Thanks for asking. I came back because I realized it was the only way to get access to certain games at the show.
Oh.
And as EIC of a magazine, I felt it was important for me to see these games. But being EIC of a magazine was not good enough. I needed to be a game critic. In other words, running a magazine wasn't enough for the game companies to consider it a worthy worthy qualification. It was whether or not I had the ability to give their game an award or not.
Right.
Deemed whether I could see the game or not. So what's interesting this year is that the show is not really the E3 that we knew it was. This is not 500 companies in a gigantic convention center. This is 30-something companies spread out over a whole bunch of different hotels in Los Angeles. It's really a much, much, much smaller event. And yet the E3 game critics are still apparently in operation as we got
as you should know, as you're still one of them.
As I am still one of them, I do know. I got the
we're back in operation. And we're going to start and we're going to do these awards again this year. But because of the fact that the venues is so much smaller and not every company is going to be there, they're now going to consider the gamers days that the companies throw. Should we explain what those are?
Just briefly.
Really quickly. It's like just lying shows, basically, right?
Right. So a company like Ubisoft or whoever, Sony, Sega, they are now having days in the next month or so, where they're inviting the press from all over the country or all over the world to come and see their showcase, their lineup. This is an alternative to E3 that these companies started doing.
And they've done it for years.
For years.
Prior to the end of E3, they've done it and there have been several in this year even, you know.
Right.
Midway had one in the beginning of the year in Las Vegas, for example.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, they're basically just press parties. So the company's able to show the press what it's, you know, it's what product it plans to release.
They set up booths where we can check out the games. They have giant screens where they show trailers of games that don't have gameplay yet, et cetera, et cetera. And the game critics have said that we're going to be including those gamers days as events where we can consider things for awards.
So it'll be really cool going to these line shows and knowing that there's a curtain where the game critics can go behind the curtain and play the games while the rest of the guys in steerage get to watch a video screen.
Exactly.
How is that any different from E3?
It's not even that. I mean, I think the issue...
But
I mean,
it's
maybe
just kind of more in your face.
Maybe we take different issue with it, but in many cases, to my knowledge, the games that were considered for E3 Critics Awards were not necessarily playable. And that was one of our problems, and it was one of your problems before, is that just the whole nature of, for one,
well, they kept trying
awards
to,
for unfinished product, in many cases unplayable product, and then in increasingly product that didn't reflect the content that was going to be made available to the consumer with launch. So, for example, like if you look at the FizzTown demo for Half-Life 2 that they had, never appeared in that form in the actual game. With the whole segment where, you know, the AI was drawing oohs and ahs as it was, you know, peek throwing a little camera through the window to look where you're at and then breaking down the door to get to you and stuff.
Yeah.
And now if you had said, we're going to give an award to this, you know, and increasingly, I mean, like that was a classic case of smoke and mirrors. You put together something that was designed to generate hype, and it worked really well, and justifiably so. The final game is great, but the whole thing is just giving awards to these, you know,
commercials.
They're commercials, and they're just, I mean, there's just so many things involved that you just like, well, what's the point? It's not a contest. I mean, people always said that. Who's going to win E3?
It became a contest.
It's like, well, win what?
Yeah.
You know?
It's all getting another badge.
In fact, I would contend that part of the downfall of E3 was this very thing. I think that what started happening was companies started caring more about that than they did about actually like making and finishing their games.
Right.
So they started devoting more resources to making these frickin' E3 demos, which was taking away from the development time of the real game. This is where a lot of the money that they're talking about losing at E3 was going to.
Yeah. And I objected to it even further because from a consumer's viewpoint, it was very clear why this was happening. It was a mutual back scratching scenario where for websites and magazines such as ourselves, having your logo and your URL or whatever appear with an award icon on the retail product was just another way, or an advertisement, it was just another way to increase visibility of your own brand.
Yeah.
On the other end of things, they could then turn and use your awards as a marketing tool. Now, if you're an average consumer, an enthusiast, the kind that doesn't listen to this, you know, GFW radio, doesn't, you know, go on the web for information, doesn't read the magazine, and you go to the store and all you see are these boxes with all these little gold and silver things, and you're like, oh, this is great. This thing won a bunch of awards. You're used to seeing that, and you're like, oh, I guess this one, like 6 Academy Awards and a couple nominations, and whatever the case. I don't mean to say that person is an imbecile or anything, but they're probably just saying, okay, an award's got to count for something, right?
Sure.
Otherwise, it wouldn't be an award. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they count for absolutely nothing. And in many cases, you will see, and you'll still see till today, games that come out where critics might not necessarily have anything especially charitable to say or quotable to say about them. So those won't appear on the box. Neither will the review scores, but instead you'll see 1 and sometimes 2 and 3 year old E3 awards listed on the box of games that are coming out this year. Mm-hmm. And again, what service is that doing anyone? That someone that looked at a preview that might not have had of a section of the game that might not even be in the game that I'm buying now, or it might have just been a movie. Some guy watched the movie and got all excited.
And that's even
because he was like one of the proud few who got to look at that movie before when the rest of the world didn't.
Right.
And so, years ago, he blew his load on it, and then you're looking at it's just.
And part of the reason he blew his load on it, frankly, is because he had this early exclusive access.
Right.
He was just like excited to be there.
Yeah. Right.
But even more so, it's basically without a number, it's assigning a review score to a game that's a preview build or something.
There's a perception of doing that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Basically,
yeah. That's exactly what it is. I mean, like they see gold medal and they don't ask where that gold medal's from, the general consumer.
And then, you know, to get to your earlier point about it being playable or not, that was always a sticking point with these awards, and it was something that was debated a lot amongst the judges themselves as it became an issue over the first few years of the awards. But it was an endless can of worms with no real answer because the definition of what was playable was a nightmare.
Did you actually play it yourself, or was it playing it?
And then if you played it yourself, was this something that was actually in the game, or had they jerry-rigged this thing?
Right.
You know, had they just made something playable, quote-unquote, just for these judges to do that was never going to actually be in the game? I mean, the questions are endless.
It just amounts to the fireworks show, and you throw a bunch of pretty colors up in the air, and whoever kind of guessed, like whatever got the most oohs and ahs,
biggest question of all is who gives a shit? Why should these things be competing?
And then bringing it full circle, the point that we're bringing this up for is that there's like such a desperation there to continue this tradition of mutual back scratching. It just seems even more just baldly absurd that you're taking it and saying it's now this decentralized thing where, okay, well, what you saw a couple months ago at Sony's place, that counts in this too.
Yeah.
What you're going to see another month from now is going to count too. So basically just, whatever kind of press junkets happen, it's not like Ryan said, it's just the same thing. It ultimately amounts to the same thing as E3. It's just decentralized physically. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it's just me. It makes it seem even more absurd. And it shows like how, I mean, there's just such a...
No, it feels weaselly.
I'm desperate to keep this thing
going. Right, I agree. Weird for me as somebody, in the group, part of me, definitely wants to, bite the hand that feeds, like I did a couple years ago, and quit and complain about it publicly, on this podcast, because part of me feels like it's bullshit. But on the other hand, I want to see the games, too. Mm-hmm. You're sort of a prisoner of the thing if you want to see the games. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even spreading them around, because all of these pre-E3 events that you're allowed to vote on are all over the place, what judge is going to be at all of these to, compare everything?
That's the other thing.
At E3, at least, you could say, well, he had access to everything. Mm-hmm. But, who's going to be going to L.A. and then New York and then, Paris, if someone's got something in Paris?
Mm-hmm. And there is even when they have these events, not suggesting anything is super improper, but they're catered. There's entertainment. There will be, in the case of EA's last event, literal dog and pony show for the Sims pets, outside. They've got, maybe not ponies, they had a dog show. There's all these other things. And again, these are not, that's not an environment that you want any sort of valid critique to occur in.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, just flat out, you don't want, but of course, most of the audience doesn't know that.
Well, this is why we stopped doing reviews that were where we were required to do them at the game company. Mm-hmm. We did one or two of those, it was ill-advised that we did. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing it anymore because it's an artificial environment. It's not the environment that someone who pays for the game is going to get.
And for accountability, it's not that I don't think anyone goes and says, hey, that was a good ice cream sandwich, and that I'd never seen a dog do a backflip while catching a frisbee. This has got to be one of the best games of E3. But because that situation is there, it doesn't look proper.
It's an accountability.
It's unseemly. Yeah, so when your audience is aware of those conditions, it's very easy for them to say, well, hey, what about those? Even if you know for a fact, there's just really no objective way of saying it. You're like, yeah, I was there eating an ice cream sandwich and watching the dog backflip and catch the frisbee, but that's not why I thought this game was actually super cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just why.
Yeah, why they have to believe.
But if we as lay people ourselves looking at another industry, we're hearing a journalist do that, we might have a similar form of skepticism.
Yeah, you totally would.
you know, I'd go, yeah,
Or if like you heard Harry Knowles who we were bagging on the other week. They took that dude to like an all-you-can-eat buffet that not only had like pot roast and stuff, but they had Chinese food. They had like a sushi bar all-you-can-eat. You know, they had like a taco, make your own tacos and nachos.
And then he writes 10 pages about how great Grindhouse
is. And they set that dude through there over and over and over again. Like they set him through there like 5, 10, 15, 20 times. And then they have him review them.
He's written positive reviews.
They run it through the Sizzler line about 20 times. And then like, here we go.
Groundhog's Day at the fucking buffet line.
What am I going to try differently this time?
So yeah,
I'll put the sushi in the roast beef.
And then, of course, the other thing that came up about the
taco, we're making Taco Bell.
These guys are off here, man.
Taco Bell menu items right now,
man. What's going on?
It's a Crunchwrap chalupa.
Okay, so we're going to take a couple reader questions. We're going to do that. Ryan Scott, question master.
We got to stop calling them reader questions.
What are we, listener questions?
Reading the podcast, they're listener
questions. Okay, listener questions.
Mr. Editor, stickler.
Gosh.
Freaking word Nazi. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right, we have a couple of good questions this week. The first one is from Hurtful Mad Max.
Yeah.
And he asks, have you ever played through a game that really caught your attention, you loved it, yet many years later when you play that same game for nostalgic or sentimental reasons, you realize that it wasn't as awesome as you thought it was? I'm not talking purely about graphics. Please share your thoughts. So does anybody have a game like that?
That goes for just about every game you played as a kid. And I've said this before, but it's like the world's another place when you're 10 and all you get, all mom can afford is like maybe one game every like 5 or 6 months. You damn well better like that game you get.
Yeah.
Play it over and over again. Leave it on all night. Leave the Nintendo on all night. Because there's no save option.
Write down that password.
But you come, I mean, no, but it does make it does. I think age makes it a very significant, and access makes a significant difference. Because when you have the ability to basically pick and choose to play whatever you want, and if you get one that sucks, you're like, yeah, whatever, I picked a bad one. Just put it away, trade it in, and go play something else, you know, as opposed to when, I mean, I guess kids now, I mean, even then, you know, you trade games and stuff and rentals available, but it does make a difference. And so I think, though, a lot of people that are in loosely our age bracket, I know there's a difference between like, what, 25 mm-hmm. and up here, but like we've all got that. And I think that's like part of the whole danger of like, of, you know, like the with I don't know, not Retronauts, but I mean, when you look at it, it's one of the interesting things. I'll turn around and say something positive about it. I mean, if you go back and play it, like if you do go back and play it, you can gauge that experience. And once in a while, legitimately, you will find the gem and you're like, okay, this is definitely timeless. Like mm-hmm. this game did something, even though it wasn't made to be timeless, it was made to make money in a very specific, you know, moment in time. It ended up working that way. And those are great. But I think when you do go back, the majority of those games are not timeless at all, and they are completely unplayable and they suck. And you know, they start more and more. You're seeing that now with Wii. It's got the virtual console out. And you start buying all these games. You're just gonna realize these games not so good. You know, even like, you know, Herzog's Vi, that was like so much fun. It was like one of my favorite games ever at the time. You look at it now, it's like I'm afraid to play. That's a game I actually will not play again because I know it's just gonna make me say, "Eh, it wasn't all that good." You know,
hope I can hear you. Say something, Sean.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, didn't mean it. I thought we had technical difficulties.
So, I mean, that's one case. I mean, some hold up. Super Metroid, I mean, I have played that since. Definitely still as good as it was.
I guess I just don't
play Metroid 1 again.
Why?
Because I think the fact that the map was gone was really bugging me.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know where. Oh, God. But I used to love that game. Super Metroid holds up.
I can't think of many things.
I played Doom again recently, and I loved it all over again.
Oh, yeah?
Same thing for Marathon. Loved it all over again. All
right.
You know, I was playing Doom again, and I was like, there was one thing, I forget whether it was jumping or some basic thing that, a basic convention that's been added since, that I was like, I really need this to play. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been jumping, something like mm-hmm. that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't jump in Doom. Yeah.
Right. So I remember going back and playing that, going,
I always hit the jump key in Doom, and it never works ever. Mm-hmm. Even 100 times later, it still doesn't work for some weird reason. Jump, damn it. How about you, Ryan?
Lots of old Nintendo games
that suck now.
Oh,
to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't really think of anything particular.
Even recently, I mean, because I started playing Battlefield 1942 again, and while the air combat stuff was great, I was just, I couldn't believe, I mean, part of it's because of the, what successive iterations did to streamline the game. And it's like almost unplayable now without, once you become accustomed to those, it's so hard to go back. You're like, I can't join a squad. I can't, you know, tell where these guys are at. I can't revive dead allies and all these things that you're like, they're no big deal. You just kind of think they've been there all along. You go back and
you didn't
take
miss
them
at the time, though.
Right.
Obviously.
Of course you didn't. But no, but the question is about going back and replaying them. So, I mean, and that's a case not of, that's a case of the game aging and causing itself to age with by correcting itself with, you know, doing its
own. And of course, there's the games that never will ever age, like Tetris or something.
Star Control.
Just timeless forever.
Right. But that's any random thing, like if you take any random thing, you're like, but Bayou Billy or Kid Nicky or whatever, you know, just name something, Splatterhouse. Like you could get Splatterhouse on, I mean, God, play that and try to tell me that's fun. I mean, it made it seem cool back when. Look at his,
well, it was cool
his
back,
blood in this game.
That's why it was cool back then. Well, you could see gore. Cool
now. Like Altered Beast.
Yeah. Altered Beast. I mean, that.
How do you think Night Trap would hold up today?
Well, that didn't hold up.
Not enough Dana Plato.
Even the dude that bought that game to like beat off to it didn't get his money.
No one actually did that.
Someone did. Come on. Well, what other reason did they buy it for?
Everyone
gaming
looks away in the room.
I'm not admitting it. I didn't have a Sega
Full
CD.
Video
That's actually why I bought the sequel to Night Trap.
One game like that, for some reason, I think it's another age thing. Cobra Command in the arcade, the Laserdisc-based one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, man, I love that. And I would play that at Chuck E. Cheese all the time. And then when, like, I went to the, they call it California Extreme, it's like our old arcade game expo, and they had it, I couldn't believe that was the same game. God damn, I thought I was playing a cartoon.
I know. I used to play the hell out of, like, the Dragon's Lair and the Space Ace and all that other stuff and Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Which is basically Lupin the Third. But,
well, I remember in college we had a Atari party because no one had played an Atari in like God
knows
how long.
It's an Atari party.
So you're like, oh my God, someone has an Atari 2600 and like 20 tapes.
There'll be games and more.
Tapes. We all set it up and we had like,
it's an Atari party. Leave your Odyssey at the door.
You just call them tapes?
Yeah. We turned it on and like started playing, I don't know, God knows what, the Superman game or maybe combat. And everyone was just like really quiet. It's like, this kind of sucks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not one of them. Like, we would
so the Atari party
like five, yeah,
fizzled out pretty quick.
Bummer, kind of a downer.
It was very much a downer. Everybody would go through them like 20 seconds. And
was
like,
there, was
okay,
there alcohol involved in this
sucks.
Atari party?
Maybe it got better after that.
Well, that's the thing. The alcohol, like we saw at a pawn shop like a box with a 6800 in it and a bunch of games for like $10. We're like, oh, this is going to be rad. I'll take it back. Just like on the way home, where it's turn this all these motherfuckers into drinking games, you know, like basketball. You get a hoop, it's time to have a drink. Whatever game it was, you know, Superman ET falls into a pit.
So some of these games actually need bear goggles.
Oh yeah,
because
you get hit by a dragon.
We hooked it up, and it was the same thing that Sean just described. You start playing it, you're like, oh God, I remember these old times. And then you just kind of get quiet because you don't really want to like announce to everyone that like
you
those old times suck.
Yeah,
dude. Yar's Revenge drinking game. That's what we need.
It's not worried. It's not even funny, though. It sounded funny.
No,
we thought
it's
we were
cool. Kind of bumming me out to talk about this.
I wasn't really going to have a drink just because E.T. fell in the goddamn pit. I knew how many times he was going to end up in there.
Okay.
So we got any other...
Are we done?
Any other good questions, Ryan, or is that
it? That's
it.
That's it for this week?
Fantastic.
How long have we been podcasting, Mr. Malloy?
This says 1 hour and 27 minutes, but we were...
Wow.
There's a lot of...
But we have a lot
that's going to end up on the cutting room floor this week.
Yeah, we said
people will have
things.
To buy the DVD to get the outtakes.
Too hot for iTunes.
Yeah. Like, huh? Yeah. This is only 40 minutes long.
Jeff, and I have to say, I've been hypnotized by for the past half hour.
Yep.
The hole in your sock, I've been looking at your toe, and I'm
really
haunted.
Haunted or excited?
That's gross.
Maybe haunt-sighted.
I'll have to get back to you on that
one. Let this be a lesson to you. You can become editor-in-chief of a magazine and still not be able to afford socks without holes in them. Yeah, especially if you spend all your loose change on candy bars in the candy machine. Maybe I should save up for a pair of socks, huh?
Then you should just keep your goddamn shoes on.
That's a crazy fucking notion.
I guess
there.
I could do that too. Yeah. My feet were itching.
It's gross, dude.
Just wrap this up.
Yeah. By the way, yeah. Great idea for like when five guys are trapped in a closet.
Yeah, it's for me to take my shoes off.
We need to get a picture of this like podcast, and if it sounds the levels are all wonky and stuff, don't blame Sean because we're in an actual storage closet.
It's a closet,
and it is like 110 degrees in here.
Yes, it's boiling freaking hot.
Just if you kick it ass. foot stink.
Right, my foot stink is festering the whole room
out
up here.
Four times.
But you have to
if you're listening and you have that, like, oh god, it'd be so glamorous to work in the gaming journalism industry. This is, you need a photo of us in this closet.
We're such freaking trolls. Floor,
you just spilled a can of Diet
Coke. Yeah, with a can of Coke spilled.
with the carpet from hell, it just sucked it all up.
Yeah, there's no trace of that.
Smells like human feces.
Well, someone might have actually had an accident in here. Ryan's looked here. Awfully uncomfortable for the last 20 minutes.
He's been shifting in his seat.
Okay, we're going to get out of here so I can put my shoes on and Ryan can change his pants.
What the hell?
Visualize wiping and hold that thought.
And we out.
We'll see you next week.
This has been a presentation of the 1UP Radio Network. For more shows, visit podcast.oneup.com.